Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this week's message, the Archbishop reveals the biblical foundation of evil patterns and the need for believers to have a greater understanding. Be equipped and empowered with the strategic prayers and intercession needed to overcome every evil plan in your life. Know today that this is God's word of deliverance for you. Be empowered as you listen.
Our third series on creating the awareness of patterns. Somebody say patterns. We have evil patterns and good patterns. For a couple of weeks now, we've been talking about setting contemporary and biblical patterns. Today we continue our journey. If you think that life makes sense, then you are in trouble. Life that does not make sense. And life is not fair. Because if life makes sense, then every African will become multi-millionaires with still having so much foreign reserves. But life don't make sense. If life is just about logic, philosophy, science, and what one can make sense of, then ladies and gentlemen, man would have been in a better place than we are right about now. But life on its own, depending on our natural skill and senses, truly speaking, make no mistake, don't make sense. There is more than our natural capabilities and skill and understanding. There are mysteries in life. There are unseen forces. And there are things that, ladies and gentlemen, can elude you in this life without spiritual understanding, illumination, and revelation. One of the greatest kings of all time made a statement in Psalm 13 and the third verse. Psalm 13 and the third verse. Look at it.
Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death.
So here was a king realizing that life was more than what the eyes can see. He then concluded that without light, without illumination and revelation, that things can elude you in life. So he prayed and said, "Oh God, consider this petition and request of mine, and lighten down my eyes, lest I slip out of this world without realizing the reason for which I came and I was born." Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God.
So the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory,
may
give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, this goes beyond the reasons of man. It goes beyond science and logic and philosophy. It stands to reason that there is something above what you and I have learned and known and have studied called mystery. Things hidden from you and I that we will never be able to make sense of with our natural capability or senses, without what the Bible calls and what Paul's called revelation. Paul was a scholar. He was an attorney of his time, one of the best of his days, outstanding distinguished scholar, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, and yet there were things that eluded him, and he came to the realization that there are deep things in God and in life that you will never be able to obtain and apprehend them without what he called the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use and apply the knowledge you have acquired intelligently or wisely. Knowledge is the acquisition of information that one has acquired. Understanding is the ability to make sense or to put all together. Understanding the outcome of a situation or event as it relates to a bigger picture. Understanding. But wisdom is the ability to use skillfully, wisely, and intelligently the knowledge you have acquired. So the doctor understands that smoking is not good for your heart, but he smokes. He understands, ladies and gentlemen, that drinking and alcohol is not good for the liver, but still drinks. Why? He has the knowledge, but he lacks the ability to apply the knowledge. The ability to use and apply knowledge is wisdom. And wisdom is that which comes from God himself, that God infuses wisdom, download wisdom beyond the natural senses, skills, and capabilities of men and women. Tulaki salahasa. Oh, diha. Kosalamaha, it's only God that grants and gives wisdom. And that's why leaders of countries don't know what to do. That's why the IMF is unable to solve the problems of the nations and the continent of Africa. And that's why Ghana, from independence, we've been to the IMF 18 solid times. We've had the best of financial ministers, ministers of finance. We've had one of the best of governors of our central bank. Some brilliant men and women and some brilliant leaders and presidents. But for whatever reason, it has eluded them. They lack the ability to unlock the mystery and the solutions concerning stabilizing our currency and causing our economy to prosper. With all our minerals, there are 37 highly indebted nations of the world to the IMF. And 31 of them is in Africa. And yet Africa is the richest continent upon the entire world, worth over $23 trillion that could make every African a multi-millionaire, and we will still have more in our foreign reserve. But for whatever reason, with all our mineral resources, we are impoverished. It doesn't add up. Don't make sense. It is an error. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an error because men and women made in the image of God are trying to use natural capabilities and skills to make sense of something that goes beyond our natural senses and capabilities. That's why the UN, the United Nations, has been unable to resolve any problems of the wars of the nations of our world. The UN can meet until kingdom comes, and we'll never be able to resolve the issues of the nations of our world, because a lot of the problems and the conflicts, the wars, the tribal wars, the unrest, the wars in Ukraine, in Somalia, and across the nations of the world, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be resolved. The peace the world seeks for can never be obtained by the natural capabilities of man. Until the day we recognize that peace is not a commodity, that peace is a personality. And his name is the Prince of Peace. And until the day the Prince of Peace is invited to step into the equation and sit at the head table of the UN, the world will never know peace. Because he is the source of peace. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and give him praise. We want to begin our journey looking at certain contemporary patterns of very wealthy and rich families that have lived and moved on comparing it to certain scripture, biblical patterns of history and of things that have plagued and impacted so many individuals. The first thing God created is family. Family was created before the church. Family was created before nations or community. And when the adversary intends to destroy a community or a nation, he attacks a family. And I said in the first service that the enemy we are dealing with is very, very intelligent. He's very intelligent, and it's very foolish for anyone to underestimate the intelligence of the serpent, the adversary. He's a very intelligent being. And to overcome him, you must understand his weaknesses and his strengths. You must understand how he works, his methodology, and his schemes and devices. When you lack understanding of the workings of the adversary, you are disadvantaged. So please have understanding in all things. Don't be ignorant of the workings of the adversary. And I said in the first service that the adversary we are dealing with is very good at what he does. And I said to them, what do you do when the adversary attaches to the things you love what you hate? When what you hate is attached to what you love, how do you deal with what you hate when it is attached to what you love? The other day they said to Jesus, you perform wonders in Capernaum. Now work miracles in Nazareth. Jesus came to the conclusion that a prophet is without honor in his own house. And the Bible said, physician, heal thyself. How come you perform wonders in other regions of the state of Israel and you are unable to perform wonders in Nazareth, where you come from? There is the possibility, through familiarity, of being denied of the ability to excel within your own walls because of familiarity. Ladies and gentlemen, let's begin our journey with a contemporary family, the John Rockefeller family. If you have your phone, you can download some of this information off the screen. Let's begin our journey. Look at certain patterns prevailing in certain families to help you make sense of some of these challenges and to create the awareness of patterns that these things do exist. You find a woman that was raped at a particular age and kept it to herself because of the embarrassment and the shame of what was done to her. And at the same age, her daughters also are subjected to the same experience the mother was subjected to. You see certain cycles. When certain women are in their cycles, they go through all kinds of crumbs and pain and unbearable pain and situation, and find their daughters, early stages, go through the same thing, suffering the same thing mother or grandmother suffers. You see certain particular patterns prevailing from one generation to another generation, irrespective of your educational background. Ladies and gentlemen, understand that the adversary we are dealing with has no respect. He has no respect for background, has no respect for status, has no respect for even your spirituality. What he respects and fears the most, if your understanding of scripture, because when he came to Jesus, Jesus prevailed against him through the understanding of the scriptures. And there are people who say, well, that is Old Testament, it doesn't exist before. You are ignorant. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, whether the Hebrew scriptures or the synopsis gospel or the Pauline revelation or the book of Revelation. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Then the Bible said that men of old spoke as they were moved or inspired by the Spirit. Somebody asked me the other day, does God still speak today? And I said, yes, God still speaks. Jesus said the other day, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So he still speaks. The Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are still the sons of God. Then the Bible said, Jesus said the other day, he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, said Jesus, then shall the Comforter come. And he said, he will hear what my Father tells me. He will take of me, and then he will speak to you. He will tell you the things that the old man is downloading to me. So the Spirit is still speaking today. The voice of him that shook the earth then, that same voice still speaks according to the book of Hebrews today. So God is still speaking. He's still speaking to his children. He still speaks today. Somebody say, I hear you. And so it's important for you to understand the scriptures. And when the devil came to Jesus in the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter, understand that all the 3 trials or tests that was presented to Jesus, the tempter, he overcame them and overcame the tempter through the Hebrew scriptures. He said, it is written. He didn't refer to a prophet or to prophecy. He didn't repeat what the prophets or the prophetess said. He referred to the scriptures as it was written and said, it is written. And the Bible said, and the adversary did acknowledge the Hebrew scriptures that you and I call the Old Testament. And the Bible said, and the devil leaved him for a season. If Jesus overcame by the scriptures, whether you call it New or Old Testament, all scripture is written by the inspiration of God. And he conquered and overcame the adversary through the scriptures. If that worked for Jesus, then it works for me. If the enemy acknowledged and left him by the scriptures, it will work for everybody. Matthew 22:29, the Bible says, for you err because you know not the scriptures or the power of God. The Bible said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. Say yes. And that's why you can't miss our Wednesday Bible teachings from 7 to 9 p.m. Because it's a time where we take our time to diagnose the scriptures, to have a better appreciation for what the scriptures are saying, and make room for questions and answers. Because there are so many of you, your greatest challenge in this life is not how many years you've been in the Lord. Is your ignorance of scriptures. And because you lack understanding of the scriptures, you can't access the power of God. For the power of God is embedded in the scriptures. And we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Please make time to be in our Wednesday services. Be deliberate about it. Don't go around chasing money and getting too busy with everything. For there come a day, and there will come a day in your life, when being busy will all be over. When the curtains are brought down. When water finds its level. When the dust is settled. And there is no more energy to pursue money. And to go after all that we chase and go after. That is the day that you meet your Creator. And then you and I will have to give an account of how we live our lives. And what we did with the time and the resources and the energy that was given to us. Whether it was used for purpose or it was used for passion. There's a difference between passion and purpose. Passion is what you love and do so easily, and it comes so easily to you. But purpose is the reason for which you came and the reason for which you were born. And you will give an account of what you did with the purpose and the reason for which you came. Ladies and gentlemen, turn your Bibles with me as we look at some few contemporary examples of certain patterns beginning from the John Rockefeller family. Go ahead, Bishop.
The Rockefeller family founded wealth when John D. Rockefeller co-founded the company Standard Oil in 1870. Tragedy began to haunt the family in 1951, however, when Winifred Rockefeller not only ended her own life, but also the lives of two of her children. A decade later, Michael Rockefeller met an untimely end while on a trip to New Guinea. Rumors persist that after nearly drowning during a canoeing trip, cannibals attacked and ate him. In 1979, Nelson Rockefeller passed in his home with his assistant and presumed mistress at his side. His tragic end followed that of his brother, who was lost in a car crash. The curse ostensibly persists with the family even a century later, as Richard Rockefeller met his untimely fate while piloting a single-engine airplane in 2014. Then the tragedy of the Guinness family. Arthur Guinness was born in Kildare, Ireland in 1725 and crafted the beer that forged both his legacy and fortune in 1759. After he married, Guinness and his wife had 21 children, 11 of whom tragically never reached adulthood. Whispers of a curse surrounding the Guinness family began when members began suffering from addiction and perishing in unusual ways. Some of Guinness's grandchildren fell into alcoholism or were committed to psychiatric institutions. In 1944, extremists killed Guinness's descendant, Lord Moon. In 1966, Tara Brown, the 21-year-old heir to the brewery, was in a fatal car crash. In 1978, Lady Henrietta Guinness jumped off a bridge. The same year, Dennis Guinness was found dead from an overdose while a car wreck killed one of John Kennedy's sons. Another Guinness relation, Olivia Cannon, suffered a fatal drug overdose in 1986. Robert Hesketh, married to the Guinness descendant, also passed from an overdose in 2004. Then the Getty family curse. J. Paul Getty. In 1957, J. Paul Getty found oil in the Middle East neutral zone, which ballooned his bank account to 10 digits. Unfortunately, all that money couldn't save him from a life of tragedy. He lived through the self-inflicted end of his oldest son and the overdose of his daughter-in-law. Further, Getty's grandson, J. Paul Getty III, was kidnapped as a teenager by Italian gangsters in 1973. In 1981, a drug overdose and stroke left Getty III partially blind, paralyzed, and unable to speak. The alleged curse reared its head again in 2015 when Andrew Getty, another grandson, died mysteriously. Then we look at the Aristotle Onassis family curse. President John F. Kennedy's widow, Jacqueline Kennedy, found herself in yet another ill-fated clan, this time by way of marrying Aristotle Onassis. with the world still grieving over the loss of JFK from his 1963 assassination, Jackie's marriage to the Greek shipping magnate in 1968 enraged America, with the New York Times declaring, "The reaction here is anger, shock, and dismay." According to the New York Times, in 1973, the businessman's son, 24-year-old Alexander, died in a hospital in Athens after a tragic plane crash. Aristotle went from calling his wife the widow to calling her the witch. Per time, deeply superstitious, he blamed her for the loss that broke his heart. After Alexander's death, the Onassis family spiraled. In 1974, still racked with grief over her son's death, Aristotle's ex-wife, Athena, that is Tina Livanos, died of a suspected overdose of barbiturates, according to the Vanity Fair. Only a year later, Aristotle passed away from pneumonia. Both of them lost the will to live after Alexander died, recalled an Onassis relative, Marilena Patronicola, to Vanity Fair. At the time of this writing, only one Onassis heir remains, Athena Onassis Russell, after her mother, Christina, died from a sudden heart attack at the age of 37.
But when you take your time to study some of these contemporary patterns, negative, we'll look at the positive later, you realize that some of these things don't really make sense. And we call them vicious cycle. It keeps on reoccurring. And as a student of prophecy and a student of history, one of the reasons why history keeps recurring or keeps happening is because of our inability to study history. We do take things for granted and just believe that things are what they are and it is what it is. I disagree to that. I disagree to that logic that things just happen. They don't just happen. Everything in the natural is initiated from the supernatural. And when it is not intercepted in the supernatural, then it can come into effect or manifest in the natural. Give me Hosea 9:14. Look at Hosea 9:14. Nothing happens in the physical that is natural. Nothing. Everything is calculated and programmed. Hosea 9:14.
Give them, O Lord, what will thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breath.
You see, a miscarrying womb. So everybody has a womb. The spirit world has a womb. And when the adversary intends to hurt or destroy individuals, nations, or family, what they do first is to sow the seed and to hatch it in the womb of time. Somebody say, the womb of time. The womb of time. Time has wombs. And things that do happen, the good, the bad, and the negative, they all come out of the womb of time. And when you lack understanding of the workings of times, or what we call the rules of engagement, events can overtake you. But in this life, you need to have understanding of some few things. Number one, right. Exemption from judgment. Right, exemption from judgment. Or exemption from implication, or exemption from consequences. Exemption. Call it divine exemption through the blood of the covenant. Through the blood of the covenant, you can obtain exemptions from implication, from evil outcome and patterns and consequences. Number two, you must learn how to repeal, revoke, annul, or squash implications, consequence, evil outcome, patterns, or vicious cycles. They can be annulled and broken and squashed on the account of the blood of redemption. For without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Can somebody put your hands together and thank God for the blood? Somebody say, thank God for the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And so keep that in mind. Now we want to come to biblical examples of certain patterns in the life of a family and an individual, and how this particular pattern in the life of two specific family determined what became of these two individuals and the outcome of their life. Please make no mistake by believing that things just happen. It's not true. It's not true. Things don't just happen. Come with me to Genesis 49, please. Genesis 49, reading from the 5th to the 7th verse of Genesis 49.
Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall.
Underline the word anger and self-will. There are people that are so self-willed to their own self-destruction and sabotage. It's as if they've been programmed to self-destruct and self-sabotage their own destiny. And they will not stop at anything until they are destroyed. Self-will, self-sabotage, and an anger with rage. Right.
Cursed be their anger,
mm-hmm.
for it was fierce.
It was fierce.
And their wrath, for it was cruel.
Mm-hmm.
I will divide them in Jacob mm-hmm. and scatter them in Israel.
So those are implications, or those are what we call consequences, that Jacob, a patriarch, placed a curse on the anger of Simeon and Levi. And the curse was very serious. It created certain patterns and certain outcomes in the life of these individuals. And we want to zero in on Moses, who came from the bloodline, amen, of Levi. Come with me to Genesis 34. I want you to see something. Genesis 34 from the first verse to the third verse.
And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob.
So Jacob had 12 children, 11 men and a girl, 11 boys and a girl. And something happened to the girl. And as a result of that, it opened a certain door and brought about a serious implication that became a pattern in this bloodline. Please go ahead.
And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Uh-huh. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor of the Hivites...
You see, sometimes it's not everywhere that you must go. The children today are very much into social media, and they go to every site and they want to go everywhere. And Dinah went to a place she shouldn't have gone at a particular time. And she was taken advantage of and raped. And she went all alone. And there was nobody to defend and to fight for her. And she was subjected to abuse. But there are reasons for that. Go ahead.
And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her.
Uh-huh.
And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel.
So a little bit of background here. Dinah, the only daughter of Jacob, was subjected to abuse, rape, taken advantage of. And the prince of this particular area was so much in love with Dinah because sex binds you. And that's why sex is only allowed in marriage. Because outside of the context of marriage, sex can become very evil, because through sex you are bound. You are bound to whoever you have sex with. So if the person you have sex with is a witch or a wizard or a warlock or a sorcerer, you become a partaker of a warlock or a sorceress anointing. And also sin gives the adversary a legal ground to access you. And that's why sex is a very, very dangerous and a very powerful thing. Because it's not just about being forgiven, but it's about the implication and the consequence of it. That who you sleep with is very, very important, because you can be bound to that individual. We call it soul ties. So even though you are forgiven, there is always a yearning and a pull from the soul of that individual to your soul, that every now and then you feel this pull and this yearning and longing to be with that individual, because the soul tie has not been broken. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, break! So Dinah was bound to the prince, and his siblings concluded that because of the soul tie between them, it was a very strong tie, that they requested that the prince and all the men of this city should enter into a covenant of circumcision, that all the men of the city, including the prince, should be circumcised after the flesh, and by circumcision that the prince could marry Dinah, their sister. And they agreed. And the Bible said that on the third day of the circumcision, when the men of the city were weak and sore, Simeon and his brother, the two of them, invaded the town or the village or the city, and they slew all the men of the city, and there was no man left in the house or in the city except women. Ladies and gentlemen, I will show you why you go to certain families and there is no man. There's no man in that house, it's only women. And not just that, but you go to some families, there is no old man. You don't see an old man or a gray-headed person in that house. All the young generation dies in their prime. They are taken out in their prime. There is a reason for that. Molaki sula, masala kituku masala, hey, modaya kasala. And so Simeon and Levite went in and slew all the men of that township, and there was no man left in that township. And that's why in the book of John, the 4th chapter, Jesus must need go through Samaria, because Samaria at the time of Jacob was Shechem, where Dinah was raped and where all the men of the town were annihilated. And Jesus had to fulfill the covenant by going through Samaria to restore back the men of that township into the covenant. And there he met a woman by the well of Samaria, the Samaritan woman, and said, I know you have an issue, and there is a contradiction and a stigma around you that you are a husband snatcher. But there is destiny also upon you, and to your destiny has been attached something that we hate. But however, we still must make use of you. You are to bring in all the men that fell by the sword of Simeon and Levi in those days. You are to bring back the men of the city back into the covenant before I go to the cross. And so this woman had to go to town to bring the men, not the women, but the men, to restore the men to fulfill all righteousness before he went to the cross. And out of these two brothers, Simeon and Levi, came a man by the name of Moses. Moses was a general. Moses was learned in all the ways of Egypt, or the civilization of those days. He was a scholar of Egypt. There was nothing he didn't have knowledge of. He was a master. He won many battles and won many wars for the nation of Egypt. So look at Moses, the man that spoke to God face to face. The man that God testified of him and said about him that if there be any prophet among you, I, the Lord, speak to them through dreams and visions. However, God, the Most High, testified of Moses that Moses, my servant, is not so, that I speak to Moses face to face. That was how weighty, that was how heavy Moses was. And the same Bible said he was the meekest man upon all the earth. But there was an aspect of this man that was feared. And when that pattern is activated, it overrides his meekness. And meekness means strength or power under control. And when this particular pattern is activated, this anger pattern in the bloodline, swimming through the bloodline, comes. He's uncontrollable and nothing stops him until he destroys. So let's look at the journey of Moses. 80 years walking with God in the wilderness. And just before he will enter the promised land, he was disadvantaged and stripped and denied of the ability to enter. Genesis 4:34-25-27.
And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain, and spoiled the city, because they had defiled their sister.
I want you to hear me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not every woman you sleep with. And it's not every man you sleep with. There are serious implications. I spoke to a man of God many years ago, very, very anointed. And he told me something about a situation he was dealing with in the life of his kids and how he was getting results for so many, but he couldn't handle a particular situation that kept on reoccurring in his own family. And as we spoke and began to diagnose and examine the situation, we realized that there was a particular pattern in the bloodline of the woman that he was married to. In the olden days in Africa, when somebody sees a man or a woman you want to marry and you tell your parents, they always investigate the house or the family from which the girl or the boy comes from, just to look at certain patterns. In today's world, everything operates by social media and by looks. So as long as she looks good and he looks good, and from a very good background and been to the best of school and very educated and sophisticated, we fall for it. But it's time to investigate backgrounds and family trees of individuals, because some of these things are real. I remember I asked my dad many years ago, he had 37 kids, and I said, Dad, you had a lot of women, you have a lot of kids. And I said, which of them did you love the most? And he smiled and he looked at me and he said, two. And I said, who were the two? I will mention one, I will mention the other. The one I will mention was my mom. And he said, I loved your mother very well. And then he mentioned the other one. And then he said, but there was a problem with your mom. And I said, what was it? He said, your mom have this anger problem. And whenever she was upset and angry, she would destroy everything in the house, and I have to run and lock myself in the bedroom. Because anything she sees, she will destroy it, including me, and I have to hide. So one day I gathered courage and I said, Mom, do you know Dad really loves you? He said, eh. And I said, what was your problem with him? He said, I don't know. I think there was just something about me that he couldn't take, he couldn't stand. But I understood what it was. It was this uncontrollable anger that when he came on her, she will destroy everything. And the old man said, I have to run for my life. Turn to somebody, I hope you are not running for your life. I hope you are not running for your life. Amen. But it was a pattern. I loved her, but I couldn't deal with a particular aspect of hair. It was something that I hated that was attached to what I love. That when I see that thing I hate, I find it difficult to deal with what I love. That is the adversary. He's good at what he does. And your inability to understand the rules of engagement and the devices of the adversary makes you a victim of life. Put your hands together and say, mercy, mercy, mercy. Come with me to Exodus 2, 1 and 2. Exodus 2, 1 and 2.
And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi.
You see, interesting here. A man of Levi married a woman of Levi. He didn't marry a woman from another house or tribe, but the same tribe. That is double jeopardy. And that is double anointing and unction. A man of Levi, a woman of Levi, from the same tribe, they married. Go ahead.
And the woman conceived and bare a son. Uh-huh. And when they saw, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months.
So here is the issue. She saw that he was a goodly kid. He was a nice kid. And this is the issue we all have. You give birth to children, and they are good kids, well brought up, well behaved. Then at a certain age, you begin to see certain signs and patterns that don't look like who they are. I was dealing with a situation the other day, and I said to this young man, I said, who are you? And who am I talking to? And he mentioned a name, and I said, you are not that individual. You are not that person. Whoever you are, working through this individual, in the name above every other name, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loose him and let him go. He was a proper child, well brought up, well behaved, been to the best of school, trained up, brought up well, from a good home. The Bible said, and the sower went to sow. And he sowed a good seed. Then came a very strange happening. The servant saw tares growing with the wheat. And went to the master and said, Master, there's something interesting happening on the field. I see these tares. They look like wheat, but they are not the same. Should I go and uproot? He said, no, leave it. Let them all grow together. But he didn't see the tares as he sowed the seed. They were all sowed together. Hear me, in church, not everybody is a believer. We have wolves and we have sheep in the church. And this word Christian is used very loosely because it is not, we haven't yet learned how to deal with the word Christian. We have to find a way to regulate that word Christian. So everybody is a Christian. They live anyhow, they do anything, they play with Ouija board, the occult, they read the 6 and 7 book of Moses, live any life, do anything, call themselves a Christian. No. You're not a Christian unless you're a disciple. You're not a Christian until you live by the dictates of the books. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. And so it's a very loose word. Even the devil claims to be a Christian. Everybody is a Christian. But if you're a true Christian, your life must be regulated by the principles and the dictates of the books. Just can't live anyhow. Do as you please and call yourself a Christian. Anyway, so the servant said, Master, shall I go and uproot? He said, no, leave it. Then the servant said something very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. The servant said, Master, did you not sow a good seed? And the master said, yes, I sowed the good seed, but an enemy has attached what I hate to what I love. And I have to leave it for now. And at harvest, the wheat shall be separated from the tares. And that is what life can be sometimes. Sometimes in life, the enemy has a way of attaching what you hate to what you love. That as a parent, sometimes you ask yourself, did I not bring up a proper child? Was my son and daughter not a godly child? What has become of this son and daughter of mine? What's going on? Who is this son and daughter? This is not what I bargained for. This is not what I brought up. The adversary does not care how well we bring out our kids. He has a way, especially with this modern day social media. He has a way of attaching all kinds of behavior patterns to the life of our kids that don't make them look like a proper child that we brought up and trained anymore. We see certain habits and we can't make sense and understand that what is it that we did not do? What price did we not pay? What is it that we did not give and sacrifice to bring them up as proper children? What is this that we are seeing? That is how skillful the adversary is. That's why we cannot give up spirituality. That's why we cannot relent when it comes to our spirituality, because it is only our spirituality and the God aspect of us that help us to understand how to deal with some of these devices of the adversary. If you believe me, put your hands together and say amen. Now, look at Exodus 2, 11 and 12.
And it came to pass in those days, mm-hmm. when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, mm-hmm. and looked on his bed, on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand.
Here was Moses, the meekest man upon the earth, the whole earth. So calm and gentle, sweet and nice to deal with, understanding and sensitive. And yet, he met a situation, an Egyptian, and he slew him in cold blood, buried him. That was how strong and skillful a man so meek was. There was this serious issue he had. Look at Exodus. Exodus, come with me again to Exodus. Exodus 2. Exodus. Exodus 11 and verse 8.
And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and uh-huh. bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger.
You see, he left Pharaoh with a great anger. It's a contradiction. The man was meek, at the same time had another part of him, another aspect of him, that was great anger, a rage. And when it came upon him, he was uncontrollable. I was speaking to a gentleman many years ago, and he said, you know, Papa, I missed a situation. I said, what happened? He said, when we were dating, one time something happened, and I believe that my fiancée was triggered. And he said, I saw another aspect of her that I've never seen before. She was violent. It was fierce. And he said, I believe that God was showing me something, and I missed it. And after the marriage, it kept on happening to the point where I couldn't deal with it anymore. And he said, but I believe that God gave me a window, that there's another aspect of her you don't know. And you got to know it to decide what you're going to do before you conclude the whole deal. I pray that you and I will not miss it. Lift up your hand and say, Father, Father, let it not elude me. Let it not elude me. Let me not miss it. Hear me. Things can elude you in this life. Oh, yeah. The adversary has a way of desensitizing and veiling you. He has a way of bewitching you so that you see trouble and yet you walk into it. I pray that you will not walk into fire. I pray that you will never walk into trouble in life, that you will escape every trap and trouble. Say yes. Put your hands together and say yes. Hokasila salama kadahalisa yala kusumba ama kutundu kumusaya. Exodus 32:19.
And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot.
You see, his anger waxed hot. He was triggered. Makasala. Ikatulun di kasaman wahasalin isunduku salamasa. His anger, the man of meekness, his anger waxed hot. Look at the outcome. And uncontrollable.
And he cast the tablets out of his hands and break them beneath the mound.
Makadulas. God, by his hand, wrote the Ten Commandments. And Moses' anger grew hot. He became uncontrollable that he couldn't help it but to destroy the Ten Commandments. For 40 days and nights, he had to go back again for another one. What do you do when you are triggered? What do you do when you are angered? Until you become a master of the things that trigger you, you are a slave to it. Kaluma sila. You must come to a place of learning, mastering, and obtaining exemption from consequence. Exemption from the implications of covenants and demonic altars and demonic curses. In each of your background, we all have interesting backgrounds. There are demonic covenants and altars on which evil sacrifices and rituals have been performed. And they have serious implications. And every now and then, you must learn to say, I annul the implications of the sacrifices and the rituals performed on demonic altars. In the name of Jesus, I obtain divine exemptions. Hear me. Spirits don't die, and spirits don't care about how many years. They can travel in your blood from generation to generation until you are released from the implications. They will still travel in the blood. Amen. Come with me to Numbers 20:7-12. Numbers.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes.
Underline the word. God's specific instructions here was to speak and not to strike. Right.
And he shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them.
So watch this. This is a very serious one. I will show you one more family and a pattern in a particular family before we close. But here was Moses. having discovered God and walked with God for 80 years, was at this time in the prime of his life. One more step to enter into the promised land, and he missed it and was denied. What happened? God said, speak to the rock, give these people water. The people were so rebellious. They had an attitude of ingratitude towards God. Rebelling against God. Literally mishandling God. And Moses was rough. He was triggered. He was angry. He couldn't stand their attitude towards God. And that's what the Bible says, judge not that you may not be judged. And the Almighty said, I am the Almighty. I can deal with people who misbehave towards me. I can handle people who dishonor and disrespect me. You don't fight for me. I can fight for myself. How dare you do the opposite? How dare you contradict my commands? I said to you, speak to the rock. You smell the rock. And God said, this is the implication of your action, that you will see the promised land, but you will not enter. I pray that in the prime of your life, that you will not be disadvantaged. That in the prime of your life, that you will not be denied. Say yes. And God said, Moses, Moses, you will see the land, but you will not enter. And he said, lay hands on the son of Nun, Joshua, and confer the mantle of leadership upon him, and he takes over from you. Strip your brother Aaron as the high priest of Israel. Take him away from his office and let the mantle go on another, and meet me at the top of the mountain. And he met him there. And the Bible said that Moses died. God killed him. God killed him. I don't want to go into the controversy of whether God kills or not. Let me leave it to the logicians of the church. Let them deal with that. Amen. And Moses missed it. At the prime of his life, when he was just there, I pray for you that in the prime of your life, you will not miss it. That in the prime of your life, you will not be cut short. That in the prime of your life, you will not be denied. Say yes, somebody, and put your hands together. Look at another family. Look at another family. Very, very serious here. Look at another family, and we'll bring down the curtains for today. 1 Kings 2:27.
So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh.
So hear this. This is another serious situation here. Eli was a high priest. And Eli refused to honor the Lord. And the Lord then determined that because he did not honor him, he would dishonor him. You see, when it comes to tithing and giving and supporting the ministry, whenever God decides to bless you, he always have his church and others in mind. God never blesses for your sake. He always bless for the benefit of others. 1 Corinthians 12:7, that the manifestations of the Spirit or the gifts or the charisma of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. God never blesses you for you. I will bless you, Genesis 12:2, that you might be a blessing. That is the reason for which God blesses. And so for those of you who just want to be blessed and don't understand the reason for the blessing, you are not qualified to receive an answer to your prayers. That God blesses for the sake of his business, his house, his work, and the benefits of others. When that is your motive, you will go far with God. So here we see that Eli was disinherited in the prime of his life. And Abiathar was one of the priests that served David faithfully. For 40 years, he was faithful to Moses. Then power changed hands. Hear me. Power does change hands. If you don't know it, I'm telling you. And if you don't believe me, study history. Power changes hands. Mokasilami Asala. Ayalaka Salum. We hasulum kifasan. Ayundu kalima hasadia. Awahasalan. That all the living may know that the heavens rule in the affairs of men. And that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. That this is the decree of the watchers. Let it be known to all the living that the Most High rules in the affairs of men and give the kingdoms of men to whomsoever he chooses or wills. Mokasulama ayala mikitulu kawahasala. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And Solomon inherited the throne of his father. Many years ago, there was an individual that came to see me and he wanted me to intervene to speak to one of them, the then presidents before this regime. And I said, okay, I'll see what I can do. And amazingly, I've been to see that particular president many times, but anytime I come before him, we talk about everything but that individual. I will never remember him until I leave the presence of the president. Then suddenly, he comes to mind. So I decided to make some investigation. And I realized that there was an implication. There was something like Abiata that was blocking him, that prevented the then president from giving him any position. And I have to call him and say, hey, there's an issue here. You got to deal with something from your background, because without that, I don't think it's going to happen. Because even me, myself, it keeps on eluding me. I always forget when I'm with him to bring you up. You got to deal with it before this thing happens. And you got to understand that Solomon himself didn't know why he couldn't elevate Abiata to a high priest. And the Bible categorically, specifically states that he was denied of the office of the high priest because of the curse of Eli. Because when you study the bloodline, Abiata came from the bloodline of Eli. And look at the Eli curse. Come with me, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the Eli curse. Oh, Kisalah Hassan. Mesuku mutu li salaha. 1 Samuel 2, 30 to 33. Look at it.
Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father.
He said, I want it. My original intent was to bless you, your father's house, and you yourself. But I changed my mind. Ladies and gentlemen, God can change his mind. That's why we should be very careful about familiarity with God. Nobody must ever get to a place where you become so familiar with the Most High. Right.
I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me.
He said, I changed my mind.
For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come.
Listen.
That I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's
you
house.
You see, the word arm means strength. Your strength. And the strength of your father's house. When Rachel was dying, she placed an imposition on the son. And she called her name Benoni. Out of sorrow or pain did I give birth to him. And when Jacob, being a spiritual man, understood the implication of the meaning of that name, immediately he stood up and made a counter declaration and said, his name shall not be called Benoni, but his name shall be called Benjamin. The strength of the arm of my right hand. Today, let every implication and imposition in your life be annulled. I said, let every imposition and implication in your life be annulled. Put your hands together and say, annulled, annulled, squash, repeal, revoke. Name of Jesus. Amen. Stop there. Go ahead. Listen.
Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house.
You see, this is heavy. This is serious. There is a reason why you go to certain families and there is no old man in the house. There's no gray-headed in the house. All the men are there and they die prematurely. And they die in the prime of their lives. Ah, Masikilia, Wosaba, Isuland, Ikandu Kasalahand, Weiki Ifund, Uhan Sulumund, Kileiki Tukusun, that thou mayest spare the house of your people. That the blood may intervene, that the blood may speak for thy people, that the blood may override. Akisum Kasalin Mesulaki Isuwala Hasa. There's a reason why you go to a house and all you see is old ladies and there is no old man. He said, there will be no old man in your house. Kitu Kamasala. And it was the curse of Eli. Go ahead, look at it.
And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation.
Ah, you will see an enemy. He will turn loved ones into enemies. May you not see an enemy within your walls. I said, may you not see an enemy within your walls. Put your hands together and say, yes. Go ahead.
In all the wealth which God shall bring, shall give Israel, uh-huh. And there shall not be an old man in thy house forever.
Look at it though, again, second time. That there shall not be an old man in your house forever.
And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve your heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age.
I pray that no father and mother here will bury your children. Let every father and mother come forward. If you're a father, come forward quickly. If you're a mother, come forward. If you're a father, come forward quickly. I pray that no father and no mother will bury your children prematurely. Let that be averted. Let that be forbidden. Lakusa isula kisalama hazund. Wehan salung kifandu kasalin. Wahandi sukumund akim sulan ikantu salaha. Let fathers and mothers be exempted and be spared of losing a son, a daughter, or a grandchild prematurely. Let no father and mother here bury your children. Let no father and mother lose a child, a son, or a daughter prematurely. In the name of Jesus, let that curse be annulled. Let it be repealed. Let it be squashed. Let it be overturned. Put your hands up. Pray that prayer right now. We repeal it. We annul the curse of burying our children prematurely. Let that curse be annulled. Let that implication be annulled. Even by the blood of redemption. Annul, annul, repeal, repeal, overturn, squash. Come on, somebody. Let our sons be delivered. Let our daughters be delivered. Let them escape the sword. Let them escape the sword of judgment. Come on, somebody. Come on, come on, come on. Breaking the curse. Adilas, of all Kasin, we annul the covenant of death. Let the covenant of death establish against our offsprings and our seed be annulled, 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 that no father, no mother, no grandfather and mother will bury any of our children or our loved ones. Let them be exempted, exemption, exemption from judgment, from consequence. Put your hands together. Say something. Come on. Don't play with it. It's more than what your eyes can see. It's more than science and logic. There are serious implications. There are spirits working through technicalities and legalities in the realms of the spirit to carry out evil. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Look at me. We want to go back to deal, to annul the covenant of death. The covenant of death. Look at it. The covenant of death. We repeal it. We annul every covenant of death in the realm of the spirit that is working through a legality and a technicality against our children. Let no father, let no mother among us bury any of your children. Akusali isan kitung kesei luwasin ikasanda kasalan wahasalandu kasilia. Hey, hey, mosukadi akitulangaza mekisulata kasit. Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. Say it one more time. Give me Micah 4:11, Living Translation.
Living Translation.
Give me Micah.
True, many nations have gathered together.
The word many means coordinated attacks. You have coordinated attacks.
Many nations have gathered together against you, calling for your blood.
Anyone calling for our blood, calling for the blood of our children, let it backfire. Let them be drunk with their own blood. Put your hands up. Pray that prayer right now. Oh Lord, let it backfire. Let those calling for our blood and the blood of our sons and our daughters be drunk with their own blood. Let that claim, let that call and demand of any demonic altar or covenant, home or abroad, domestic and external, backfire, backfire, backfire. Come on, open your mouth, put your hands together. You may not understand, but do it. Iku Salaman, Kefe to Waki Sais, Sula Kisalan, Manda Sun Diwan, Kalahanda Kasun, Iwondu Kisilia, Sola Makasia, Isamba Luta. Hey, they are calling for our blood. They are calling for the blood of our sons. Lord, they are calling for the blood of our daughters and our grandchildren, our seed and offspring. But let it backfire. Let it backfire. Thou that answers prayer, let it backfire. That they will be drunk with their own blood. That the blood of our children shall be preserved. The life of our children shall be preserved. Do it, Lord. Hear me. Look at me. One more prayer. When we talk about blood, you must understand what blood means. Jesus said, the life is in the blood. So when we talk about blood, we are talking about the life of your children. Anyone calling for the life of your children, any altar, any covenant, anyone anywhere who wants the life of your children to grieve you and to cause you pain and to hurt you, wherever they are, whatever they are working with, let it backfire. Let it backfire. Put your hands down, pray that prayer. Let it backfire. Come on. Come on. Backfire. Backfire. Yay. They are calling for the blood of our children. They are calling for the life of our loved ones. Thou that answers prayer. Thou that answers by fire. Let their claims and demands, imagination and projection, expectations and thought, and soulless prayers, enchantment and incantations and divination. Father, let it backfire, 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 backfire. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, backfire. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I will contend with them that contend with you. I will deliver your children. Command the deliverance of our children. Let our children be delivered, home and abroad, domestic and external. Command the deliverance of the seed of the righteous. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Command the deliverances of the seed of the righteous in the name of Jesus.
Know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361-5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.